And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. May I speak and may you hear in the name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. At this time in the church's year, we celebrate not only the nature of the triune God, but our partaking in the triune God. As Christians, we recognize our dependence on the Trinity for our creation, salvation, and holy transformation. The Trinity grounds our membership of the Church. Indeed, we are all baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, following Christ's great commission. And this grounding is alive in our liturgical life. How many of our prayers commend our thoughts and petitions to God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end? The opening words of Mass invoke the Trinity, just as it concludes with the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, declaring that the triune God will be amongst us and remain with us always. Even with our daily reciting of psalms in the offices, each concludes by glorifying the Trinity, drawing out for us the final context of the psalmist's words. And yet, Christians throughout the centuries have wrestled with the task of describing the nature of the Trinity. And we can never, of course, fully succeed. As a result, we frequently turn to images and analogies and metaphors. Bishop Jonathan highlighted some of these for us on Sunday. When we attempt to put into words the divine mysteries that we have received, we discover the very limits of our language, the inadequacy of our articulation of the divine being. To quote John Henry Newman, "Then, Christians, lest they should seem to be unduly insisting upon words which clash with one another, have guarded their words and explained them. And then for doing this, they have been accused of speculating and theorizing." We see the same tension in our gospel passage today. Our limited comprehension, striving earnestly to engage with the divine unfolding. In one sense, Nicodemus's objections to our Lord are entirely rational. Upon hearing the words, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," Nicodemus replies, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Christ's answer, as ever, is telling. "We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven." In the face of Nicodemus's struggle to understand, Christ brings the twofold assurance, not only that a fuller reality exists, the heavenly things, but that he is the one who knows and bears witness to these things. He is the one who shares them with humanity, making this spiritual rebirth possible. And with this rebirth, our perception changes. Something is added, and our understanding becomes fuller and richer. This, and only this, self-revelation is how we might begin to understand the self-disclosure of God to us through his love for us. From our baptism, we recognize as flowing from the Trinity our creation, salvation, and holy transformation. We see in Scripture the working together of the persons of the Trinity in creation, in the beginning, the speaking of creation into being through the Word. At the other end of the Scriptures, our reading from Revelation, we hear from the heavenly beasts, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." The divine love was behind God's act of creation. And as Christ says, it is he who makes these truths known to us, as the Son of Man in heaven who has come down from heaven for love of us. We hear later in John's Gospel that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The divine love for us is the foremost insight we are given of the divine nature, precisely because of the Trinity. It is because of this divine love we were created, and because of this divine love we are saved. And this divine love is also the basis of our sanctification, our continual growth and transformation toward holiness in God by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As we have heard, we are meant to perceive heavenly things through him who knows them and makes them known to us. Yet, the human incapacity to understand the divine mysteries endures. We see later in John's Gospel great misunderstanding about the body and blood of Christ. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They have not perceived Christ's divine nature. Once more, they are called to recognize the embracing love of the triune God. "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Tomorrow, we celebrate this divine gift with the Feast of Corpus Christi, giving thanks for the institution of Holy Communion. We will hear, as we do at every Mass, the prayer of consecration to the Father, proclaiming the Son's presence in the sacrament by the power of the Holy Spirit. In this sacrament, we are united not only with the disciples at the Last Supper, but with God himself. As Austin Farrer put it, "Mortal ears and eyes at that moment perceived the movement of speech and love which passes in the heart of the Godhead. Human minds entered into that converse of the divine persons, which is the life and happiness of the Blessed Trinity. Belief in the Trinity is not a distant speculation. The Trinity is that blessed family into which we are adopted. God has asked us into his house. He has spread his table before us. He has set out bread and wine. We are made one body with the Son of God, and in him converse with the Eternal Father through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost." We are not just saved, but sanctified, made fuller, brought into the very divine love itself. This is why we thank God for feeding us with the body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and acknowledge our transforming wills, offering ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a living sacrifice, to be sent out in the power of thy Spirit, to live and work to thy praise and glory. So if we must attempt to define the Trinity, amidst the imagery and metaphors and analogies, love must surely be our driving instinct. The triune God is love eternal, love incarnate, and love immediate, creating, saving, and reforming us by its very nature. As Christians, we struggle with this definition not only because of the ungraspable divine mystery, But because we are so caught up in that mystery, so dependent on it, formed and reformed by it, our relationship with it is not abstract or speculative, but fundamental and constantly growing. We might have an easier time trying abstractly to define our love for a parent, our spouse, or our children. So the example of Nicodemus is a very valuable one for us at this beginning of Trinity Tide, as we look to grow in the divine love. It acknowledges the limits of our language, the struggle we have in engaging the divine mysteries unfolding before us. But we see that Nicodemus grows in the faith, later in the Gospel defending Christ against the chief priests and Pharisees, and eventually even bringing myrrh and aloes for his body before his burial. More importantly, through the Gospel, we know that it is Christ, the Son of the Father, who has seen the Father and made him known here to us on earth. It is Christ who gives himself for our salvation, and it is Christ who enables our participation in the divine mystery of God himself with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who hast revealed thyself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and dost ever live and reign in the perfect unity of love, grant that we may always hold firmly and joyfully to this faith, and living in praise of thy divine majesty, may finally be one in thee, who art three persons in one God, world without end. Amen.